From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he continues a message bearing the title, Facing Death Through the Living Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 21 and verse 11. Watchmen, what of the night? What enemies are abroad? Errors are a numerous horde, and new ones appear every hour. Against what heresy am I to be on my guard? Sins creep from their lurking places when the darkness reigns. I must myself mount the watchtower and watch unto prayer. Our heavenly protector foresees all the attacks which are about to be made upon us, and when as yet the evil designed us is but in the desire of Satan, he prays for us that our faith fail not when we are sifted as wheat. Continue, O gracious watchman, to forewarn us of our foes, and for Zion's sake hold not thy peace. Watchman, what of the night? What weather is coming for the church? Are the clouds lowering, or is it all clear and fair overhead? We must care for the church of God with anxious love. And now that popery and infidelity are both threatening, let us observe the signs of the times and prepare for conflict. Watchmen, what of the night? What stars are visible? What precious promises suit our present case? You sound the alarm. Give us the consolation also. Christ the pole star is ever fixed in his place, and all the stars are secure in the right hand of their Lord. But watchmen, when comes the morning? The bridegroom tarries. Are there no signs of his coming forth as the Son of Righteousness? Has not the morning star arisen as the pledge of day? When will the day dawn and the shadows flee away? O Jesus, if thou come not in person to thy waiting church this day, yet come in spirit to my sighing heart, and make it sing for joy. Now all the earth is bright and glad with the fresh morn, but all my heart is cold and dark and sad. Son of the soul, let me behold thy dawn. Come, Jesus, Lord, O quickly come, according to thy word.
Be at morn when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the creation waits redemption to see.
caught up in clouds, soon we shall meet thee. O blessed assurance, forever with thee. He is coming again, he is coming again. The very same Jesus, rejected of men, he is coming again, he is coming again. With power and great glory, he is coming again.
And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace.
Eternity I'll spend triumphant in his grace, triumphant in his grace. Hallelujah, amen.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it.
Thank you.
Joshua chapter 3 records Israel's passage of the Jordan River. Before the people were the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant. According to God's command, as soon as the priests' feet entered the river, the waters of Jordan were cut off so that the people might pass through on dry ground. Very often, the Jordan is used as a picture of death. And in the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is showing how this passage illustrates the Christian's encounter with the last enemy. The Ark represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Since he has already passed through death and conquered it by his resurrection, he is able to bring his people safely through death's cold stream. In approaching this subject, Dr. Cairns first emphasized the solemn truth that all of us live in the sight of Jordan. The shadow of death hangs over everything in life. Our time in this world is brief at best, and soon we must pass over the Jordan. As Dr. Cairns will declare, death is certain. It is universal. No one can escape it. And it is final. There is no going back. Now to continue this message, Facing Death Through the Living Christ, here is Dr. Cairns.
The children of Israel removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and Joshua and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. They lodged there in sight of Jordan before they passed over. And that sentence could be written over every one of us this morning. We lodge in sight of the Jordan of death before we pass over. Whatever our age, whatever our occupation, we are today merely lodging. We are not here forever. Not only so, we are not lodging far from the final crossing from this life into the life which is to come. We are daily in sight of the Jordan. Not only daily, but moment by moment, we are in sight of the Jordan. We cannot take a step without it being a step nearer to that final boundary line. We cannot breathe one breath, but it is one less that we will have to breathe. Our heart never pumps once, but it is one less time it is going to pump. There is not a second ticks off the clock, but it is a second less for us to lodge this side of Jordan. We are lodging in the sight of Jordan. And I tell you, that is something that we ought never, whether we are young or old, whether we are healthy or infirm, that is something we ought never to forget. We read in 1 Samuel 20 verse 3 that David said, "As the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." David recognized something. He was forced to recognize it by the particular circumstances in which he found himself. But he recognized something that every man, woman, and child among us would do well to recognize. There is never more than a step between us and death. We are lodging in sight of Jordan. David was just a young man when he said that. The other end of the scale in 2 Samuel 19, we have the question of Barzillai unto the king, "How long have I to live?" And David was seeking to have this friend come back after he had been such a help to the king during Absalom's rebellion, come back with him across the Kidron and lodge with him in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said, "How long have I to live? I'm an old man. Time has gone. The river is just before me. I can see it. I can hear its lapping waters. I can almost feel the chill. How long have I to live?" A young man says, "There's but a step between me and death." An old man says, "How long have I to live?" The teaching is clear. The shadow of death hangs over everything in this life. All we do in life should be in the light of our impending encounter with death. You know, that places every interest of this life in a very, very different light. It places every pursuit of this world in a very different light. Men pursue the things of this world as if these things were here forever. I've been reading recently a biography of a young man whose financial schemes rocked this country and rocked the world. A man whose success was so great that by the time he was in his 30s, he was planning globally, not just for his own financial interests, but he was able, and indeed did to some extent, to set up the economies of nations around the world. By quite a young age, this man was raking in over $500 million in 1 year. And yet, to all accounts, or by all accounts, money itself meant very, very little to him. But it meant everything to those around about him. And as I read of the connivings, the skullduggery, how men sold their bodies, their souls, their families, everything for money and for power, you got a vision of people who thought, this is forever. That young man today, I'm not quite sure, is either dying or dead of cancer. Still young. When you think of how people attack the things of life, the verve they put into it, the energy they put into it, when you think of the grip they take on the things of life, these are the things that interest. The man I'm talking about started work 4:30, 4 o'clock every morning, and would be finishing at 8 o'clock that night, or maybe later. Day after day after day after day, grasping these things as if they were here forever. But oh, what a different light is cast on the things of this world when you realize every dollar I make and every dollar I spend, every place I go, everything I do it in the sight of the river of death. Moses had that in mind when he prayed, "Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." How much we need the perspective of realizing that we lodge in sight of Jordan. The second thing we note in this first verse is that we must soon pass over that Jordan. We read, they lodged there before they passed over. And the next verse tells us that after 3 days, the officers went through the host and got them on their way. We must soon pass over. Not only do we live with the reality that Jordan is near, but we have got to face this, that in a very, very brief time, at the best, we're going to pass over. The certainty of our death is stamped upon us. The Scripture says, it is appointed unto man once to die. People argue about the predestinating purpose of God, about the foreordination of God, about God's appointment of events yet to come. And in all the academic argument, they very often overlook the simplest statement of God's sovereignty anywhere. It is appointed unto man once to die. The picture we have of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, as He is described to us in all His glory there, walking amongst the churches, we have Him described as the one who says, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Heard a great Baptist preacher once say that there may be a million doors into death, but the Lord Jesus Christ holds the key to every door. He has the keys of hell and of death. As the wise woman of Tekoa said to David in 2 Samuel 14 and 14, we must needs die. Where is water spilt upon the ground that cannot be gathered up again? The certainty of death. Oh, that God would take that simple but supremely solemn truth and stamp it on our hearts this morning, stamp it on our eyeballs, that we would not be able to look out at anything in this world without realizing the absolute certainty of death and the universality of death. This was not something that was true of some of the children of Israel, that some passed over and some did not. This was something true of every one of them. Job said, I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. The universality of death. Ecclesiastes in chapter 8 tells us there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war, neither shall the wickedness deliver those that are given to it. What a statement that is. I must confess that there is an element in the can-do attitude that is so prevalent here in the United States that I find somewhat offensive, but I find it's also whistling in the dark. And it seems to be unique to the reporting. I have never read this kind of thing in, say, the Daily Telegraph or the Times or the Belfast Telegraph or the Irish Times or anything on the other side of the Atlantic. I'm referring to those occasions when a person gets sick. Maybe a virulent cancer is found within them. It's all very well to have a fighting spirit, but that person, especially if they're famous, and their family very often are reported as saying, they're going to whip this thing. They're going to whip it. My mind comes to this verse. There's no man that has power to retain his spirit. This is true of kings as well as paupers, of presidents and princes, but of the poor and the needy. The young and the old are alike here. There is none that can hold on in the hour of death. Can't be done. You may have the greatest medical team ever assembled. It still can't be done. But especially I want you to understand this, that the wickedness that seems to serve sinners so well in life, the wickedness and the graft and the debauchery and the sinfulness that has intimidated man will not intimidate God. The wickedness that has opened many doors in life is not of any use in seeking to close the door of death. Their wickedness will not deliver them. Oh, that we could get the truth not only of the certainty of death, but its universality. A universality that not only says this is true of all men, but it comes right down to every individual man, one after another, and says, this is true of you. And of course, the finality of death, when you cross in the swellings of Jordan, there's no going back. It is appointed unto man once to die. There is no turning back. We must soon pass over Jordan.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.